Nonetheless, the Prussian dynasty in the 18th century was largely held together by a civil service and an army. Frederick the Great would make it into one of Europe's strongest armies. In fact, Voltaire again and others would remark that Prussia was largely an army in search of a country. 80% of the Hohenzollern budget in the late 18th century was devoted to the army. The army would create a state where traditional allegiances or religion might have served elsewhere. The two other dynastic families of note that one should mention as one talks about the structure of European politics in the period, these are the two great powers on the periphery of Europe. The Romanovs in Russia, certainly with Peter the Great's reign beginning in 1725, Catherine the Great would come to power in 1762. The Romanovs would increasingly play a salient role in European politics. They had traditionally been involved in battles in the Baltic area, also in Turkey, but increasingly Russia, which was always divided between is Russia a European power or is it a sort of sui generis special case? In the 18th century, Russia seemed increasingly to be a European state, but nonetheless a state that certainly absolutist. But a state that still was on the periphery of European politics. The other state on the periphery of European politics, and the other dynasty on the periphery, and I think this always sounds strange to those of us raised in the Anglo-Saxon tradition, would be Britain. It would be the Hanoverians. The Hanoverians had come to power in Britain in 1714, a minor German family that would assume the throne of Britain. It was the least prestigious as a dynastic family of any of the major crowned heads of Europe in the 18th century. It would ultimately prove, of course, to be the sovereign of one of the most prosperous and powerful states of Europe by the middle of the 19th century. But in the 18th century, the Hanoverians were not seen as a serious threat to either the great power and prestige of Bourbon France or even of the Habsburgs. This, then, was the, in a sense, the political and dynastic structure of Europe in the 18th century. These states were absolutist. England, once again, represents an exception to this in the 17th century. The Stuarts, the dynasty that had followed the Tudors in England, had not been able to establish an absolutist monarchy, whereas Louis XIV had done so in France, the Prussian monarchs had done so, the Habsburgs had done so in their own dynastic lands. The English aristocracy had successfully resisted the efforts of the Stuart monarchy to establish absolutism in England. It led to the English Civil War. It led to the Glorious Revolution of 1688, in which one always talks about the triumph of Parliament and of the Constitution in England. It was the triumph of aristocracy in England, which had prevented the establishment of some sort of absolutist government in England. So England represents something of an exception in this sense. This would be part of, I think, in parcel of Charles de Gaulle's continuing argument with the British, saying that they're not really Europeans, that they don't fit this absolutist tradition that one sees on the continent. If one turns from this level of European-wide politics, of international politics, in turns to society in the 18th century, one also sees a society that is dominated by rank, by tradition, by dynasty. In one respect, the absolutist monarchs of 17th and 18th century Europe are simply the most influential aristocrats of their respective societies. The society that one saw in Europe, particularly on the continent, in the 18th century, was a society that was largely static, which was based on tradition, based on ritual. Each estate, one didn't speak of classes, but rather of estates. Estates were corporate structures, each possessing its own rights and privileges and its own unique obligations. At the top of this pyramid of estates was the aristocracy.